So welcome to the 21st episode of the Transportation Management Podcast. Today's topic is load planning in Transportation Management 9.1. My name is Thomas Quintus. I'm Scrum Master in Freight Order Management.
Yeah, my name is Bernd Dittrich. I'm here for asking the question and to learn about load planning, as everybody who's listening as well.
My name is Markus Zahn. I'm the responsible architect of the TM backend and frontend implementation, also responsible for the visualization of the load planning.
My name is Martin Henschel. I'm from development, from the optimizer team, responsible for the optimization engines, for supply chain management, and for transportation management.
I'm Olga Lindau, and I'm also of the optimizer team, a developer.
Cool. So let's get started. As usual, 10,000 feet perspective. So why did we build that? Do we really somebody need that? What do we do? Why do we have that?
Okay, why do we need it? Because at the moment, if you do a capacity check, for example, you have a certain amount of pallets and you have your truck with a certain volume or a certain weight capacity, it may fit from a theoretical point of view, just looking at the numbers. But if you come to the practical side, you may realize that you cannot put all the pallets you have on top of each other, or that the pallets have some dimensions which are not very useful to put on top of each other, or to regard the principle of the last in, first out principle, or the axle weights, whatsoever. All your packages or pallets won't fit in the truck. You have maybe realized it with your move from one place to another with your van you have rent, and you realize you have a lot of boxes and they should fit in the van. But when it comes to reality, you cannot stack the boxes, or they have strange dimensions. So,
or you exceed the axle weight of the van. Huh?
Hopefully not.
Yeah, it's close to Christmas, so the transportation of the gifts may also be a problem. So listen careful. You may use the optimizer for that this
year. Yeah, you should use it.
So basically, so the real world is unfortunately more complicated than just adding up weight and volume to come a result. And to address that, we have that load planning. I think that one piece is that check thing, right? And Markus, I think, is also the visualization part of it. So that's...
Yeah, maybe one additional thing to add why we require that. From my point of view, it's really bringing the solution closer to the execution. I mean, in the past releases, we were more coming from a strategic transportation planning based on large volumes, full truckloads or full container loads. And this piece was really missing for, let's say, road transportation. Of course, you can use the load planning also for other transportation modes, but it's really crucial for the road planning, since there are also some legal requirements that you need to fulfill that might not be so relevant when doing ocean or air.
And did we develop that by ourselves, or did we do it with the customer, or
what did we got the feedback from a lot of customers, and we also were at customers to see how its pallets are loaded into trucks in the reality, and got a lot of feedback how to do it and what is important for load optimization or load planning.
Yeah, since this topic is pretty new to us, I mean, we're really interested in developing that as close as possible together with our customers, and really to understand the relevance of the process for them and what are the key points that we need to fulfill. And I'm pretty sure in the future, together with the customer, that solution will grow.
Cool. Sounds good. So we have developed it also together with customers, right?
Yeah, because there are also requirements coming from customers which were not obvious to us at the beginning. So, for example, that the load is stable when the truck moves on the road, so no pallets move sidewards and so on. If the truck pushes the brake, the truck driver, that no pallets are moved forward and so on. So a lot of requirements coming from the customers regarding stability of the load and so on.
I remember in my old TPVS days, I also, at that time, we only had a partner solution. For it, we also had a funny example where a customer wanted to build a container and it was perfectly built, but there was like a 1 meter gap in the middle and then kind of very good utilization, but everything would break down as soon as you touch it. Yeah, but okay, now we have our own engine. Let's see. Okay, so I think we're already getting below 10,000 feet now, so getting closer. So what first thing is maybe, okay, I want to test drive it. What do I need? First, I think you need a TM91, right? So ramp up is open. Please come, feel free to join and yeah, sign a contract, of course, before. So I need a TM91. Is there anything more that I need to install or buy? Or
obviously, you need some kind of master data. So you need a truck. You need to define your truck resource.
But I don't need a real truck to play around with it, right?
Not for playing around.
Okay. No. For playing around, we have the visualization.
Okay.
In place. So
a van is enough then. Okay.
But then there are fields like the maximum gross weight, cargo bay dimensions, empty weight, split deck, for instance. So if you have like a double deck, it requires split deck. Or if you can have a kingpin and have an empty weight on this kingpin, max weight on the kingpin. You have axle groups of different types, maximum weight, empty weight, all these fields you may define. And
so that's all the fields that I need from a truck or capacity, more abstract.
Yeah, for the capacity, the dimensions like length, width, and height of the cargo bay, of course, and the other ones for, well, legal restrictions or technical restrictions like the maximum weight on an axle. It may depend on technical, but this is more or less not the limit. It depends on the legal and national law who says, okay, you're only allowed to have...
Bridge rule in the U.S., right?
In the U.S., is a rule that says trucks should not cause too much damage to bridges. So they have limits depending on the distance of axle, how much weight may be on a single axle or a tandem axle, and depending on the number of axles you look at, the weight must be maybe a little bit less so that the weight is distributed on the axle, not to harm bridges. So there's a special requirement.
I think we come to that single dimension than what we consider then in more detail also later. So
yeah, but talking about the prerequisites, what you need for the visualization is the installation of the SAP Visual Business tool to see the resource and the load in three-dimensional model. And also, of course, you need the optimizer installed next to the TM. But this is, I guess, pretty standard.
It's a new engine just, right? I mean, same technique.
It's a new engine. It's called Vehicle Space Optimizer. But it's the installation is easy. It's like the other optimization engines you have. If you have installed it, then it's just a new executable destination you see in your system, and it has the same functionality as you're familiar with, like an explanation tool, or it's integrated in the remote communication framework to see the log file if necessary. So it's just like the other
one. Does it cost extra?
No, of course it's
so cheap. Nice. I think a shameless plug here. So we had an optimizer episode where all the technical connectivity was already explained in more detail. So who's interested in how to set up technically the optimizer engines, that was TMP like 15 or something. So the optimizer session of it for the technical. So I would have that new engine. I would have Visual Business new version to be installed. By the way, you mentioned that Visual Business now, from a map point of view, comes with OpenStreetMap, right? Is that?
That is true. So with the TM91, you have ready to go GeoMap integration with already supplied content.
Cool. I mean, not related at all, but still interesting. So
And talking about development efficiency, we use the same UI control for the GeoMap and now for the 3D visualization of the load plan. So that's good for the customer. Because
and then in future, we can have the 3D visualization of the truck on the map, right?
So yeah, sure.
The next thing then, moving around on the map. Yeah. Remember those demos. Nice. Okay. So that's the first step. So technically, actually, I only need, I think also if I install a 9.1, it already is included, right?
Yep.
So the path or part of it. So nothing special to be included. But we have to set up some master data, right? All right, you already mentioned for for the trucks, for the resources.
For the resources, yeah, you have the master data, and then you also have a planning profile where you can influence like the result of the optimizer. Where you can, in the profile, you have hard constraints, soft constraints, something like legal constraints like bridge formula, which you already mentioned would be a hard constraint. But then there are soft constraints like the stack height, for instance. And you can prioritize rules which you are giving in this profile. You can have priorities there. And also you can set maximum runtime there if you which you need. The optimizer stops after it finds an optimum, but sometimes there are costs involved and you don't find the optimum, so you set the runtime, which is in the order of seconds,
I would say. Okay, yeah, that would be another question. How long does it take to optimize a truck from your experience? What we see so far?
It always depends on the scenario. If the optimizer finds the optimal solution, which means all packages are loaded in the truck and all rules you have defined are fulfilled, then it stops. So it may stop after the first solution, after milliseconds. But if you have a lot of pallets which are different heights and it's a rather complex optimization problem, it may take some seconds. So it depends on.
But it's not like because our VSR optimizer run it, it's typically not a matter of minutes. But if you have a real problem, it's more in the, I don't know, two-digit minutes or something, but not seconds. But for the vehicle space optimization or load planning, that's more in the sub-minute area, at least, to be on the safe side.
Yeah, we hope.
And maybe,
let's see how the first customer scenarios, but at the moment, we think in the areas of less, some about a minute or less, hopefully.
Okay. So,
there's one thing that we should not forget. There's also the prerequisite of having detailed information on the item or on, let's say, on the product level. So information like stackability and the dimensions are, of course, another input for the optimization.
Where does this come from?
So it comes from the freight order items.
So from master data.
That is true.
From the product master data.
Yep.
Okay. Good. So summarize, but I think we will dive a bit deeper into that in the second round. So we have some vehicle-related rules. We have some general rules how the optimizer should look at the problem, so to say. That's a planning profile. Yeah. What are the rules to be considered independent of the single resource? And then we have, of course, attributes of the pallets or whatever objects we stack. I think in the first place, we consider more or less cubic pallets, right? Yeah. That's in our first step. So no tube in tube, and then I put that into a wheel, and then
as I mentioned in the beginning, it's our first step into that topic, and it would not be very intelligent to start with the most complicated things. So we're starting with the things the most customers can use right away.
Exactly. So cubic pallets would be current assumption and stackability of them. And then, okay. Good. For the resource, maybe it makes sense to look a bit more into the details what I can define for a resource, which is relevant for the vehicle space optimization. So you mentioned already things like the total weight. So that's old stuff, right? That's kind of boring, right? So the total capacity that is. Has been there forever, but what is new? What can I define for a resource? Maybe in more details, we touched it before, but I think that's very interesting because it shows what we can then also support, I think.
What you can define in detail, but which is new is, for example, the axle weight, so the axle positions. You define axle groups and say what kind of axle group is this? Is this a single axis, a double axis, a triple axle, for example? Where is the position of the axle group? What is the maximum weight? What is the empty weight? We need this information to calculate.
Just coming back to the axle, so I would define for a single truck or what is the position of the first axle and then the position and number or type of the rear axle or whatever.
Exactly. We talk about axle groups, or axle group can consist of several real axles, single axles. We need this information to compute the exact position of each axle at the truck. Mm. For example, for the US bridge formula, we need the exact position of the axle because in the rule you say distance between axle 1 and 2 have to be some feet, and then you look into the table and see what the maximum allowed weight is. So we need this exact position, for example, for the bridge formula, but also when calculating the actual weight on the axle.
Okay.
When we put pallets into the truck, the pallets have certain weight, and then we compute the weight on each axle. And the user can say, okay, I work or drive in Germany, for example, and German law says the maximum weight on an axle may not exceed this and these tons. He may maintain this in the master data, and the load optimizer would consider this and would not exceed this maximum axle weight.
But I have one, I will come to that later. Okay, that maximum axle weight is nothing I maintain for a resource, but as a rule then, right?
No, it's resource master data.
It is part of the resource master. Okay, yeah. So at the moment, then also bound to the country where I use that most, right?
Yeah, if
I would
exactly.
have, So it's part of the resource, and that implies.
Okay.
That it's okay.
And one.
I saw that there was a. You showed me, right? Some graphics where you can change the position. Then you see that also on a picture that looked cool.
Yeah, there's a resource configurator. Huh? I mean, when typing in some numbers into the master data transaction, it might not be exactly matching reality. So we've created a tool where you can enter it and directly see how the dimension you just enter changes the appearance of the truck in a 3D model. And also there you can play around, you can browse through the existing resources. And from my point of view, I mean, there are some truck types, I would say, and usually that data is delivered or somehow available with the documentation of the resource that you try to use.
Worst case, you go out and you measure. Huh?
But it's always good if you see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the data you have maintained to see, is this realistic?
But I mean, if you have in certain countries to fulfill legal requirements, that information regarding the resource has to be available somewhere. Otherwise, you can, even without using TM, you could not calculate and be legally compliant. So I guess that information is just available.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as worst case, you go out and measure. So it's not rocket science to get that information.
Yep.
Okay.
So this was the axle weight, and we also have some other master data, which is relevant if you have a vehicle combination, maybe a trailer, which is connected to a pure mover, a tractor. We need also to know how they are connected in order to compute the axle positions of the complete vehicle combination. For example, again, for the US bridge formula. So you have to define where is my kingpin of the trailer. It's located at the bottom of a trailer, and you connect it with the tractor, the so-called fifth wheel, or we call it connector. So we need these positions in order to compute all the axles in the complete vehicle combination.
Then I think you would also need a place where you define like the dimensions of the actual payload area of the truck, where you really can put something on, and how that's located.
Exactly. You can define where your cargo body begins. So we need some data in order to calculate the correct axle weights. And you would see it in the tool Markus described visually, if your master data is maintained correctly. So this is more or less for the vehicle combination. And one, the last thing is if you have a truck with two decks, call it split deck, you can define it where is the split deck. You may need split decks if you have a lot of pallets in your truck, which are not stackable. So if you have only pallets which are not stackable, you may waste a lot of volume, but you can, some trucks can have the split deck, and you can use the upper deck to put additional pallets inside and maybe double the number of pallets you can transport in a truck.
You also mentioned LIFO, FIFO, so do you also define position of doors then, or?
Doors hopefully at the back of the truck, but and this is the kind of last in, first out we consider. Okay. So
for a moment, the doors at the end.
We get this information from the pallets, which are loaded in the truck, which is the stop sequence, and we order the pallets in the truck so that the first stop is located at the back, at the door of the truck, so it can be unloaded first, and the last stop is next to the driver cabin, so it can be unloaded last. So this was a main requirement from the customers, so that you can easily load and unload your truck without moving any other pallets or causing damage to pallets and so on. So LIFO principle is always considered.
And the assumption is doors at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Which is, I think, majority of the cases. Yeah.
Okay. But I guess if that changes in the future, it will just be an additional rule.
Yeah, yeah. Or set up for the resource, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's it for the resource. How do I define my capacities, abilities, or dimensions, right? Or did you forget something?
No, that should be fine.
Yeah, if not, you will find it somewhere in the resource maintenance.
Yeah, huh? Just look at the resource master data, and it macros nice to report the tool, and you see all the... The fields you can use and play around.
Even have the different types for the US versus European trucks, right? So different
city
models. Nice. Okay. So the next thing, I think, is then the rules that I can define after defining the truck, right? You mentioned sort of costs and stuff. So coming for, you mentioned it's a new profile, right? The load planning vehicle space visualization profile.
Load planning profile.
Is that the official name?
You know, I think the official term should be load planning settings.
Okay. Settings. Ah, because it can be assigned to a profile, right?
So it's assigned to a planning profile to complete that, and a planning profile can, I guess, be maintained in the freight order type. So you automatically can assign a certain load planning automatic process to the freight order already.
Basically, take a little sidewalk on that one. So the planning profile is the VSO profile is assigned to a planning profile. The planning profile, of course, if you enter the cockpit, it is a planning profile you defined there. As you mentioned, for a freight, and then if you create a freight order in the cockpit with that planning profile is kind of inherited or copied to the freight order created from there. Second one, it can be defined in the type, and there's also a condition-based determination of the planning profile. So I think you have different ways of defining how or which rule should be applied. So that if you have different rules in the US versus Europe, that would go through the different planning profiles, which we hopefully have for the different scenarios, and then that would include the different. Okay, and what's in there? Yeah, let's go through it maybe more detail.
Yeah, we have lots of rules, and the rules is something where we are growing, actually. And so we have kind of certain areas for the rules, like stability of the load would be one area, where something like left-right balance, where you try to not stack everything at the left side of the truck so that it tips over, also is considered.
Or do you then just say, do a left-right balance, or...?
Then we have a rule which says do a left-right balance, and this is a soft constraint.
Okay.
And you can give it a priority.
So it's on-off and then important or not. Yes. But you cannot say more on the left, right?
You can say how much may the weight, the center of gravity, deviate from the middle of the truck. Okay. So you can say it must be in the middle or it's okay to deviate 50% to the left or the right.
Okay.
So this is a parameter you can set for certain rules.
Okay. And the priority, how important is it for you to stick to that?
Yeah.
And that is a maximum then, that deviation, right? That's a hard constraint or costs, penalties?
It's a soft constraint, and it will internally for optimizer, it will cause costs. So it's a cost-driven approach we have in the optimizer. So how if the rule is more important, it creates more costs, and the optimizer tries to reduce the costs. So.
If you violate that constraint, then it creates costs.
If you have two rules and the one is very high priority or other very low, violating the priority very low does not create as much cost as violating the rule with the high priority.
So. Okay, good. That's very similar to the VSR and Kerasa example. Okay, so the first one is center of gravity deviation, so to avoid trucks falling on the side.
Also, for the stability of the load, also we have something like descending stack height. So if you want the higher stacks more on the front of the truck and the lower stacks more in the back of the truck, you would switch on that rule. And then the optimizer tries to do a descending stack
because it's more comfortable to climb up then, right?
No. It's more for breaking.
Stability. It's easier to control the acceleration instead of braking. So if you have the driver has to push the brake because he comes to a jam or something like this, it has to be avoided that the load, the pallets move forward. So you use this rule.
And what exactly do you define there? Just on off?
Yes.
Okay. So you would normally turn it on and try to
fulfill this
fulfill
rule.
That. Okay.
Or maybe for some customers it's not important, so we can switch it off. So a lot of rules we got from customer feedback or.
But it's not that you have like a target degree of.
No, not yet. So I don't know where the first customer wants.
But it sounds already pretty. Sophisticated,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. Cool. So that, make sure. Of course, full truck is then idle, but if you don't volume-wise fulfill it, you try to stack higher in front.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Also in the same category for the height, for the height difference rules we have. We have some height difference rules where you basically define that neighboring packages or pallets should not have a height difference, which is bigger than a given value, which is also a rule we learned from a customer.
Mm. That's for stability again, that's like stabilize each other. Okay.
Then we have stack building rules, something like the maximum weight of a stack may not exceed a certain value, or heavy pallet shall be on the bottom of the stack, or things like that.
It's all of them, it's on off, right? There's no importance of the rule. But it's not that you say certain
rules. For some rules, of course, you have a parameter. If you say my stack may not exceed a certain weight, you can define a parameter.
Okay.
How many tons or kilograms may not be exceeded.
Okay.
Then we have legal rules like the US bridge formula would be one.
That was the one that basically if the truck is longer, you can load heavier, right? So to make it short, is it like that or no?
Yeah, you have to distribute the weight in the truck to fulfill the bridge formula. It's more or less the aim of the bridge formula.
Just try to understand the difference from maximum axle weight. That's
it's not only the axle weight, but also the distance between the axles. We cannot change the distance of the axle they are built in the truck. We can only distribute the weight on the axles and say, okay, we distribute the overall weight in the truck in order to distribute the weight and not stress the bridge too much. So this is more or less the goal of the bridge formula.
Sure. Good. It's good for sustainability even. Huh? So less bridges destroyed by TM. Nice.
Less collapses, bridge collapses.
Yeah. Good.
And as a currently last area of planning rules, we have the loading patterns, where we have quite a lot of rules for. We have like uniform loading patterns or detailed loading patterns where you can, very detailed, give some pattern in how the load shall be loaded, whether it's straight packages, turn packages, or something like pinwheeled, which you could have in the US, for instance.
Pinwheel. Okay, I didn't understand the last part. So can we have some examples on that? What does it mean? Sorry,
Europe is mostly quite easy because the trucks in Europe are standardized so that three Euro pallets fitting next to each other in the straight direction, and you have more or less 11 rows of it to transport 33 Euro pallets or 34, depending on the orientation. In the US, the pallets are more or less standardized for containers, but for the trucks, we have seen that it's not that optimized. So we see a lot of customers, we got the requirement from the customer for the so-called pinwheel, which means if you look from the top of your loading, it looks like a pinwheel or like a chimney. So you have one pallet turned, one straight, and the next row is straight and turned. It's nested. So in order to use much of the width of the vehicle and also distribute the weight. Mm-hmm. So it's for weight distribution, and maybe there's also some goods which need some air. So if you transport fruits or something like this, the transporters would like that the all the pallets are not pushed next to each other, so that's the air circulation is still possible, so they may like the pinwheel pattern. So it's
okay,
mainly from the US. In Europe, it's more or less not that familiar, but in the US, we have seen this.
Heard that. That's why I was asking. Yeah. It sounds interesting, pinwheel. Okay. What else pattern would we have there, or loading preference rules?
We have some rules that where you can define that at the end or at the beginning of the truck that the pallet shall be turned or straight. So which is for unloading, it's sometimes it's necessary that you have them in the direction you want to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That would be like some more specific patterns. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have time. Which rules do we have?
I think it was the most important. We have a lot of loading patterns and rules, and we have also a documentation for that. And
okay, so that you have the different rules, and most come from customers which tell us, okay, we have that rules.
And we are quite sure that with the feedback from customers, from feedback from you, that maybe some rules are added in the future. So it's still growing. This is this is the way you can influence the result, the load plan for the optimizer.
Okay, adding my own rules, maybe that's a general thing for the optimizer. Since this is an C++ engine, there's no body for the optimization process itself, but in pre and post-processing, I think similar to body enhancement options, to be more general. You can influence the pre-processing, post-processing, but not the optimization process itself.
Exactly. So we would have to develop the new rule, and the customer would have to maintain this new rule in the system, and the optimizer would recognize it and fulfill it.
Yeah, but talking about that enhanceability, I mean, since it is our first step into that topic, our intention is, of course, to make it as enhanceable as possible in the pre and post processing. And also for customers requiring really some fancy load optimization to plug in their a different optimization engine. I mean, of course, this is still possible. It's also theoretically possible for all of our optimization use cases. But for the load optimization, I can really imagine that if you as a customer come up with some really wild rules that are very specific to your scenario, and we cannot cover that in standard, it is still possible to kind of use something else.
Or use custom development, which would then enhance the optimizing. Yep. That's also a pattern that we have, right? Okay.
Yeah, and also for the, that is more the backend and the optimization enhanceability. There will be an enhancement guide for that topic, but also you can enhance the 3D visualization, and I guess we come to that part later.
Exactly.
But all components that are new to that topic will be as enhanceable as possible.
Okay. And that's it from this profile point of view. So that's basically the three areas.
So from the profile, you have the rules, you give it a priority. Mm-hmm. Some are hard, some are soft, some have parameters, some don't. And in profile, then you have the runtime, which we already discussed, and that's it.
Okay. And maybe the last section is then the pallets or the things to be load optimized, the cargo. So you already mentioned the what do we have there? Maybe
you're the expert on the items of the freight order.
Yeah. We ask the questions.
You ask the question. Okay, what do we have?
Bernd, how does it work?
So we have the dimensions there, right? That we consider. Is there also something like a pallet type that would be considered by the optimizer, or is it really the dimensions?
It's more or less just the type. Simplified more or less the dimension length with heights and the weight, and if something can put on it or not, the stackability flag, and of course some additional information, which is like the stop, to which stop, to which customer this pallet belongs to, and maybe additional information, but just for the information, which is the corresponding customer or product and so on. But more or less, we get this cuboid box.
Okay. Yeah, maybe, okay, that's not my turn, right? As I got you, okay. what happens is if you have like an ERP order where you have like one order with 20 pallets, what's new now in TM91 is that we have the so-called multi-items that it comes over from ERP as 20 pallets and then comes into TM. And then let's say in the freight order, you define the item type as a multi-item type, and then it will create 20 sub-items for the 20 single pallets, really. We also use it for rail and stuff, but also for the vehicle space optimization. If you don't know what an item and a stop is, you heard before, then we can, as you should stop here. First, go back to the TM podcast number 3 or so about the TOR BO, and then continue from here, because I think now we also come to the pace. Where is it stored, et cetera, how do we use it?
Podcast 8.
8. Thank you. TM 8. TMP 8. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think now we have all the... We have the technical setup, right? So we have the new optimizer engine. We have Visual Business, which we didn't use so far, but we used it for the 3D truck modeling already. Yeah. We have the master data of the trucks. We have the rules that we want to apply, and we have our cargo items with its dimensions and weight and stuff. So now I want to optimize. What do I need to do?
Yeah, I mean, there are multiple ways to execute the load planning. You can do it directly within a single freight order. So you can enter the freight order UI. There's a new tab available for the load plan information. And from there, you can also trigger the automatic load planning. You see a load plan list showing all of the items that are relevant. And after the optimization, you see if they can be planned onto the vehicle, and also you see the load sequence and the position. And next to that, we have a new tab explaining the load distribution regarding the resource and also regarding the axle groups. And the third tab is the load statistics, so you can quickly get an overview how high is the percentage of the unplanned items, how much capacity is already consumed from the vehicle resource. That will later help you with maybe in a manual process to adjust the plan. So that is for a single freight order, but I guess the main scenario is going to be a planning in the transportation cockpit, where you can select multiple freight orders, enter the cockpit, and then browse through the freight order information. And there, when you are doing the manual planning and assigning a new freight unit to the freight order that is then planned onto that freight order, you can rerun the load planning and check where it would fit, and then manually, let's say, load the freight order. Also, there it is possible to do a multi-freight order load planning, but we only consider, so we do not do a swap of items between the freight orders. We really do the load planning for each freight document separately.
Also, just to understand, so if I have an let's say VSR optimization run, that would be a post step, then, right? I would do my vehicle space optimization, which does the assignment to the of the freight units or pallets, then to the different freight orders or let's say truck trailers to be more in the physical world. And then as a subsequent step, we would check and do the detailed assignment of the different items to the, their position on the truck, right? It's not part of the VSR.
Yeah. Currently, it's not integrated.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. It's, as one step, as a carrier selection, one step process, right? Yeah, good. So you just press one button, but the engines are subsequently called to set a clear scope.
Yeah, and for customer, so that was more the manual usage of the load planning, but for customers having an automated scenario with the ERP integration, it is also possible, first of all, to do a mass planning out of the freight order worklist, and also a fully automated process using a specific planning strategy that has the load planning automatically executed after the VSR optimization.
Hmm. Or only the optimize vehicle space optimization, right? If I have a selection of freight orders and that planning strategy would only include that VSR step, then I would, space optimization step, then would only do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That maybe that makes maybe sense. We haven't talked about it. So our standard process, as understood you, you go into the cockpit or in the document, you press the magic button, then you wait sub-seconds to seconds, and then you see the result in our nice 3D UI. Then you can adjust it, right? You can reposition by either changing in the list, no?
No, currently there's no manual adaptation within the transportation cockpit possible. We are thinking about that, but I mean, this is really a complicated topic because if you manually change the position of the items, of course you, through that, change the weight distribution within the vehicle resource, and that would require a recheck of that plan. That is probably one of the next steps we will go, but currently it's not possible. So if a customer would have the requirement to adapt that, it would require a post-processing step of the automatic load planning currently.
Okay, so you would get the result, look at it, enjoy it, and take over the result. And then if something changes, for example, you get an update for your sales order and the weight is now different, then I think the result is also not valid. So what happens then?
No. Yep. Just one step back. You see the result of the load planning in a table view and also in the 3D model. And taking the example, some items are not planned onto the truck. You can use the 3D model to check, for example, from a volume perspective, would there be more space available? So theoretically, they would fit on the truck, but some of the optimization rule hindered the optimizer from putting it onto the truck. So you can overrule within the transportation cockpit the rules that you have defined, rerun the automatic load planning, and then validate. If I maybe skip one of the rules, then the items would, or one or multiple items would then fit onto the truck. So there is some value in seeing the real positioning of the...
Yeah, sure. I mean, just to control the result. Yep. I mean, rules is one thing.
And you can see, for example, at the color of the axles, how close you are to the limits of the axle weight. You say, okay, now it would... The volume is the restriction, or the weight on the axle may be the restriction. You can see it.
So the clear recommendation is to not use a monochrome UI screen, but the color screen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have really some nice colors. Yeah,
sophisticated technique
and
required.
Nice navigation. You can look at your load from the top, from the back, from the sides, and highlight some of your pallets according to
the
customer.
Can I also test drive it in 3D then? Nice.
Only reality.
Okay.
So within the 3D model, there is some interaction available on each object. So you can open a context menu like you know it from the GeoMap. And we provide some basic standard functions, but this can also be enhanced. For example, we can really think of an enhancement taking one of the items off the truck. For whatever reason, so there is some enhancement capability here to adjust the load plan, but that will not come in standard with TM91 these functions, but I can imagine some basic functions to be done in a development project at the customer.
And you also mentioned that you could have an optimization result where one or two or five pallets wouldn't be delivered. And you also mentioned before that we would have the explanation tool. Would I get an info on why freight units wouldn't be assigned, or is it more, how would I know?
You can take a look at the input data, which means all pallets which are transferred to the optimizer. If you see something strange, for example, if the package for some reason is just too big, your cargo body, or if you have not maintained any dimensions for the packages, you can see this in the explanation tool for the inputs data.
But the violated rules at the moment, I wouldn't see. It's more experiencing. Okay.
But of course, it's always the highest priority to load the pallets. This is always what we try to do first before we try to.
But of course, I mean, but there might be rules. It's Excel way, as you said, you can't change even in the 3D model, or maybe only in the 3D model you could change the Excel distance, but not in real life. So you shouldn't do it in 3D as well.
You can also try call the optimizer without any rule, so the optimizer will consider the height constraints, like I said, the dimensions of the cargo body and the maximum axle weight and the maximum cross weight of the complete vehicle. You can check it in the visualization if the axles are close to red, so it, heavy loaded or close to 100% load. So this would be an indication that the package doesn't fit on the truck because it would violate the maximum axle load, for example. And then this is a kind of hard constraint the optimizer would respect with the highest priority, and then it tries to load all packages into the truck. So this is the main purpose of our customers, to load all packages and does not leave anything behind. And then the third one are the soft planning rules described, so which may use penalty, but loading all packages into the vehicle is much more important than maybe violating some of the soft rule with a low priority.
Yeah, and also on the freight order header, you have the information available if the load plan is up to date. Or, for example, if you assign later an additional item to the freight order, then, of course, the load plan is not up to date and you can easily figure out for which freight orders do I have to do something.
That would be like a POWL list or selection and plane profile where you would select all the outdated or the future freight orders with invalidated BSO cards and re-optimize them.
Yep.
But I also identify those freight orders where, let's say, the optimizer would run in the background and it wouldn't load all freight units, or sorry, all pallets on a truck. Could I also see that result at the moment? Do I have that? Not sure.
Not yet.
Ah.
It's a backlog item in your team.
Is it? Okay, then.
And now everybody knows it.
Okay, is it? Okay. Yeah. Let me do it. Close to be done. Okay, so then I can identify everything that has an issue. Yeah. Ah, we even have backlog items out of that recording. Nice. We already had it before you said, right?
Ooh.
Good.
And now everybody knows.
No, everybody knows. So we can cut it out. We could.
Yeah, one important thing to mention here is to be legally compliant. It is required to store the weight distribution information as an outcome of the automatic load planning, and that is currently done in the explanation tool. So if a customer has that requirement to store it, it is of course advisable to switch on the explanation tool, but from my point of view, makes in general sense if you have some optimization process in place. And that might be some information that will be attached in the future to the freight order or not, but currently it's possible to be legally compliant and to retrieve that data if you run into legal trouble.
Yeah, and don't forget to even but still run the cleanup report that would delete the old values. Otherwise, I think if you have many optimization runs after a while, that's a huge table, right?
It is indeed.
Yeah, but anyway. That's described in the application operations guide, right?
It is.
So, yeah. How could somebody not do it then? Good. So basically we went through the process, right? I think the last thing is now maybe how is that result stored? We already mentioned on header level for those of you technically interested. So I think the position within the truck is stored on item level, right, Markus?
That's right.
So it's in which row and or how
yeah it's stack level and row and I think also the
absolute position
position is also
3D coordinates you can think
counting from where
counting from the left lower corner and the back close to the driver cabin
so this left is lower corner. So if I stand there with the back to the driver cabin it's left
in the back left lower back next to the driver cabin. You look into the truck from the door.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can easily check it in the 3D visualization. Yeah. I mean, you take one of your items on one of your freight orders and you will see that.
A picture says more than 1,000 words.
Okay. Good. Yeah, it's an audio podcast. So no, and visual.
Try it on TM91 and you can see it.
Exactly. So okay.
Yeah, you can also check the TM community. There's already something available where you can get a hands-on and get an impression of how it looks within the application. And as soon as you have the application, of course, this would be the first thing that I would take a look at in TM9.1.
Yeah, me too. Good, I think. Did we miss something for...
What we can also talk about is a little bit how would a typical TM customer use that information. So the load plan itself in text-based form is a good document to hand out to the truck driver or even to the door. Also, what we have on the roadmap is the integration with the warehouse management.
Extended warehouse management.
Extended, of course, SAP extended warehouse management. I mean, we are aware that that process of a real loading information is more a warehouse process. What we cover currently is more the process of be legally compliant from a transportation perspective. And there are some mixed scenarios in between that require information going back and forth between the warehouse. But usually how you would determine how the stuff goes onto the truck is a central information attached to the business document, I guess, and needs to be communicated forth and back. And I'm pretty sure there will be some additional development in the future to strengthen that scenario, but we're coming more from a transportation point of view. And also, as we have already mentioned, we're working more on the pallets, not on the pallet building so far. That will hopefully be part of the extended warehouse management in the future, and there will be some mixture.
Yeah. And anyway, we are one unit, right? TL, so it's extended warehouse management, EM, and us. So anyway, it's one family. So.
Yeah, I mean, if we can not come up with a integrated solution sitting next to each other, I would be interested how others could do that.
Yeah, nobody can do that. Okay, except for us. Good. That's it now?
Yep.
Yeah, we have to prepare for the Christmas party also. So that's why today... bit shorter. Yeah. I think that's it, right? So now everybody can play around with 3D models and do the vehicle optimization.
So this is the first step in this area. So feedback is very welcome.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, if you're interested in that, maybe get in contact with us, right?
Yeah.
So the usual channels go into the ramp up, and I think there's always... the feedback channel, and then we can see what's possible. If it's just maybe a small rule or would make it to roadmap or something. So we are new in that part of the business and eager to rule it. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
And
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year if you don't see it. Heather. And thanks a lot.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.